If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Wednesday, and yes, it is time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. You might not have noticed because the show did go on while I was away, but I was actually on holiday the last 3 weeks. And I have to say, I've come back very, like, happy and very relaxed and refreshed. I did work quite a lot because I was in Europe on holiday. And first of all, it was warm. So I think that helped with my general spirit. But also the days were so long. Like the sun comes up at 6 o'clock in the morning and only goes down at 10. That's a lot of daytime hours to do stuff and to be productive. And I managed to do so. So I had a very nice kind of working holiday, spending time in the end of the day. Luckily with my job, I have the privilege to be quite flexible with where I work and how I work. And generally when my children are on school holidays, even when we're at home, there's a combination of me spending time with them as much as they want to, because my kids are also 11 and 13 already. So they don't really want to spend all their time with me anymore, unfortunately. Yes, I'm giving you kind of hope and despair for the future. I just now also spoke to a mom about it, but I'll get to that point. But anyway, for me, it's always a combination. And I'm so grateful, actually, for all the different things that I do, that I do get that opportunity to spend time with my family, still work wherever I am. It's only a privilege. And this is also part of it. I could pre-record some shows so that you guys are still informed and helped and all that stuff. And at the same time, I was not even here, and now I'm back again. So it's nice for me to be back live on the show again, talking with you. So please do let me know. I know everyone. I mean, if I looked at Facebook and Instagram, it felt like everyone was away in different places. So let me know if you went somewhere over the holidays. I would love to know. Were you at home enjoying the really great call that we're having? let me know. I would love to know if you were away, if you did anything nice. Please let me know. You can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019. Please let me know if you've done anything, even if it's – people are often – oh, it was so boring, I didn't do anything. If you really knew my life and how I love boring, you would not be afraid to share. I love like consistency, routines, and having the same. So being back also, another privilege, because I think it is so nice at the end of the holiday when you also look forward to going home, because that just means that your house must be also really nice. And mine is, and my life is really nice, and I enjoyed coming back. And also, I don't know, this is something I really have to share, is that people always promote Table Mountain and Kruger and all these things in South Africa. The single most impressive thing that we have to offer here is Woolworths food. In all honesty, Woolworths food and Dis-Chem, I miss the most. So I think we need to pun those places a lot more, because I was so happy to be back and be able to shop in those places. So again, that's, I feel, stuff we need to promote. But a good thing that I feel that is really nice about holidays is that you do get to pause a little bit. And often that means reflecting a little bit on emotions and, you know, just processing a little bit, because in the hustle and bustle of life, I think sometimes that's the biggest thing, and especially for our children, that they don't actually get the time to just feel and be. And I think that's like, I think technology and all those things are distracting us sometimes from these things. We're not bored anymore, where we just think of, oh, this is now nice and I get to feel this and I get to do this and whatever. And I think it's really great when you have those opportunities to just breathe and, you know, feel happy, feel content, also feel a little bit sad, feel a bit of, like, angry. Those are like normal things. So you have to feel those different emotions. And that's exactly what we are talking about today, is those big emotions. And especially helping our children, creating those opportunities for them to process our emotions. I'm not the expert or the emotional expert, even though I do feel. My kids actually say, please go listen to that show with me and my husband. He actually said, I have a superpower. That's the word he used for feeling when the emotional balance is changing in my family. please go listen to that. But in the same breath, that's only with my family and people I know. please go. My guest today to help me talk about this is an expert. She's been a social worker for over 20 years. So she has serious experience in this. Maybe I'm not the superhero. She is. Joining me today, Elise Kronier. Hello, Elise. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to the talk.
Yes, I mean, talking about emotions is for me always a nice thing. And it's funny because when I was younger, I hated anything that was like psychological or anything like that. Now it fascinates me so much how big emotions play such a big role in us. And I think for me, the biggest part is that I feel often that people have a misperception about emotions because an emotional health. When we often talk about what's good emotional health, if you would ask someone that, they would say someone who's happy and content all the time. And then my response to that is the definition of a psychopath. You cannot be happy and content all the time. You need to be sad when someone dies or someone in your life gets hurt. You need to be stressed when there's lots of things happening. You need to. It's good mental health is about having the appropriate response considering the situation. And in certain situations, you need to be angry and it helps you sometimes for survival. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And I'm, as you can see, I haven't had my show live in a while. So I'm super chatty today. Super chatty. But again, Elise, maybe let's start because it is processing that kind of emotion. So let's start because you are also like a play therapist as well. What is play therapy?
Before we start, just to connect with what you said, yes. Is when I start my therapy, I always explain to the kids because sometimes parents will tell you you're going to play at that tunny, and then actually the play that we're doing here is a little bit of work too.
Yeah.
And then they will, they thought they're just going to play. So I will explain to them, I am the heart lady. So sometimes we feel happy, sometimes we feel that or whatever, but in this room, we're going to make plans to feel happy most of the time.
Yeah.
So everything is okay. Mom, if I ask them, you know, surely your mom gets mad sometimes. Oh, yes, 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 they do. So then they are more content to speak about, and to play through their emotions. So that's normally how I introduce you myself. And whenever you take your child to a play therapist, just ask her how she is going to introduce. Because sometimes the children will come here and say, I don't know why I'm here. They just brought me or whatever. And yeah, that can be quite harsh on them.
Yeah, and I mean, I can imagine also like, it can be confusing. And I mean,
yes.
Let's face it, confusion obviously is also an emotion. But more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting and one of my favorite parenting topics, talking about emotions and helping our children. I mean, in the end, you have to remember that as an adult, we're only fully emotionally mature when we're around 24, 26 years old. some men only when they're 50. sorry, I wrote my comments like that. I take it back. But, you know, so most adults don't even have control over the emotions. So we also can't be too surprised when our children struggle to, process their emotions and to even talk about it and even to name it. So helping me today to talk about this wonderful topic of helping our children to process big emotions is, like, she has over 20 years of experience, is Elise Agronia. Elise, before we went to the break, we also talked about, and also how nicely you introduce yourself and talk about these things and try to make it also for children. Again, like I said, I can only imagine, I mean, lots of adults struggle sometimes with emotions. Sometimes I feel like anger comes out easily. People process anger very easily. Sometimes they think they're angry, but actually they're sad. It's just easier to feel anger. And so it doesn't surprise me when small children, especially toddlers, when they're just developing these things, that it can be difficult and even to even name it. So it's nice that you have this nice introduction to talk about it and to kind of help them. And I remember also even with my own children, I played a game in the car always with them when we were driving around. And then I would say, like, when you're happy, you laugh. When you're sad, you cry, to kind of help them to kind of identify the feelings that they have, and also to kind of normalize the fact that there are different feelings that you have. And I think that's very nice. But again, let's start with this play therapy now that you're doing. What is play therapy then?
Yeah, play therapy, if you think of the movies, if an adult goes to therapy, he will lie on a couch and he will start talking about what's happening with him. But you know what? Children can't do that. They can't even sit still for a while. So we use their language, and their language is play. So that's why we use play and the safe space environment for them to play out. Surely, I think most of your moms have already seen your child playing yourself, the mom, or sometimes you will see that's definitely the teacher. Oh, that's grandfather. So they do play it without the therapy process, but we actually use this language of them to bring certain things to the foreground so that we can work on whatever is we need to work on. So yeah, that's more or less in short, play therapy is to talk, the talk is how you play through the emotions and the experience without the pressuring of words. I also think when you sometimes pick up your child, you will ask him, how was your day? They don't have the words. But surely when he come to the car, you can see in his body language how we feel today. So their bodies and their playful language say much more than their words.
And I mean, that's like a very great example. And I mean, my kids, again, are already 11 and 13. And even when I'm with them at the end of the day now, and if I was, I don't even ask anymore. I mean, immediately when they get into the car, I'm like, how was their day? But it's all the time good. That's their answer. But now I have different questions that I ask to kind of lure it out of them. And by now they also know, and sometimes they prepare as well. Because I know I'm going to ask, like, what subjects did you have today? And it's like, what was your high for today? What was your low for today? And things like that. And I change it up as well, because they also get, like, bored with the same things. It's like, I don't want to talk about my high. Everything was high. And it's like, also, and that even that becomes boring for them. So I even have to change that up every now and then. But what are some of, I mean, again, now my kids are a little bit older, but I mean, in the play therapy now, what kinds of challenges or emotions are like explored through play therapy? Because you now said that we have to work on something.
But what
are the common things you have to work on?
Yeah. Actually, if I think of the little ones, that the ones before grade R, grade one or two, the ones that comes the most to my office are the angry ones.
Yes.
Because the school sometimes will refer and tell them he struggles.
Yeah.
And actually, what I want to say here is that I like to work with the whole system, because there's the parents and the teachers needs to be on board with to help this child, because we all know a child can't self-regulate yet when he's this young. And what do we see when he's angry, when they're biting, whatever they're doing, is self-regulation. And then we need adults to help this child through it. So one of the emotions that I get the most is aggression.
Yeah. And but again, like I said, even for adults, it's one of the easiest emotions to feel. I don't know why.
Just like that.
Yeah. Just like that.
Just like that. And I always explain to the parents that when a child is angry, that angry, he's offline. He's like, the Wi-Fi is gone. We need to get him online again. And you can't speak with any language with him then, because they can't listen to you. So, so anger is one of it.
Yeah.
The other one that comes a lot to my office is anxiety or fear or separation anxiety. A lot of parents will, the little ones that struggle to go to school at the beginning of the year, they will bring their children to me. So then we try and find out, is the problem at the school? Is the problem with the friends? Is the problem with at home? So that we can just see what's playing out. Yeah.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and I am talking today specifically about emotions and processing big emotions, and I'm speaking to Elise Cronier. If you want to be part of the conversation, please, if you have questions or comments, please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. We would love to have your input. And again, I also ask, hey, what did you do over the holiday? Did you have time to process your emotions? Let me know. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted you, Liz.
No. And other challenges that might come up is like grief and loss when children work through those emotions, even if it's a pet. Some children just struggle.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will explain to the parents, or trauma is the other thing. If there was a traumatic incident, we are created to work through some of the trauma. So sometimes we just see this child is stuck. If he's stuck, then he can come for, then they bring him for therapy. But sometimes we just need to work through the trauma themselves. So sometimes it do help to just know some of the things are normal in this situation.
So the first thing that I just wanted to ask you, because you mentioned earlier that children can't self-regulate, at what age does self-regulation start?
Whew. 8 or 9?
I'm actually quite interested in that. Yeah. Also from a sleep perspective, what it is. So only around 8, do they start?
No. They do start earlier, but we need to co-regulate with them. We need to teach them how to regulate.
It could take even longer if they never learn the skills how to regulate.
Yes. True. Yeah. I actually want to say if the self-regulation is, let me just keep it there. When we co-regulate with them, then they learn how to regulate.
Yes.
Okay. So if we can't co-regulate and we're just sending them to the room and go and sit there until you feel better or whatever, then it's like you say, then they will never learn how to regulate. So if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And I mean, again, also, I think sometimes that's now the one side of it where I want to say that sometimes we underestimate or we think that these things come naturally to us as parents, first of all, and to our children, being able to process these emotions. And we forget that everything that they do, they need to learn how to do it.
Yes.
And sometimes I feel that I always say like one thing to my parents as well, you can't expect a child to know the rules if you never told them the rules. they can't expect them to follow the rules if they don't know the rules. And it's the same, like, if they haven't experienced, and I mean, how many times do you have to repeat something? I mean, it took my children 13 years to say thank you and please. So these type of things, you can imagine it takes a while for them to, and I mean, self-regulation, and I mean, still even older children, older adults sometimes need co-regulation and a little bit of help to do things.
So what I actually wanted to mention is they do feel the same emotion as us.
Yeah.
They just don't know how to regulate it, but they got this big, big, big emotion now, and how do I regulate this?
Because now we're also coming back to the anger part of it. So when we're talking, what do we mean by regulation? Is it meaning that they can feel the emotion in an appropriate way and they're not going to, for instance, punch someone in the face when they get angry?
Yes.
What is self-regulation entail? What does that mean?
For me, in short, it means to get them online again, because when they're offline and you just see the emotion, if you think of, there's a nice book, The Whole Brain Child.
Yes, I've read that. It's a great one.
Cool. And that one will teach you, when you just see the emotion, you can't stop it. You need to get them online. So self-regulation will help you to get online again. And the only thing that I give the parents to go and do at home sometimes is, you get it on the internet as well, Brainstem Calmer. That is regulation ways, how to help your child not to be so tense so that he flips his lid too quick. So it's easy stuff. It doesn't cost any money, but we don't do that anymore, because our children play in front of computers and whatever, and this is much more than that.
Yeah, and I mean, I always explained to, and I think it was that book as well that also explained it in that way, that I tell to parents, like, I think we sometimes forget that the emotional brain is actually the first part of the brain that develops, and then the logical brain comes. And that often, or children think, and I mean, even if you think of yourself, so I explain it to parents, like, you've got the emotional brain and you've got the logical part of the brain. It's obviously the same brain, but it is different parts of the brain. And when you can't self-regulate, the emotion completely takes over your logical thinking.
Yes.
So it overpowers. And again, you can even just think about yourself when you were in love at 16. If you now think back at it, when you were 16 and in love, what stupid things you did in the name of love. Because you will be with this guy forever for the rest of your life. And whatever your parents said, your logical brain couldn't think about it, because the emotion took over the logical part of it. And that is exactly when you're not regulating. What is kind of happening is that you're thinking emotionally, and that your toddler is thinking emotionally. So you have to, if you get angry when your child is punching someone, you're not co-regulating. Yeah. You are fueling the fire of anger. And you both are thinking emotionally, and no one is regulating.
No.
So for you to help co-regulate your child means that you need to remain calm, or be excited, or whatever. And if you want to excite a two-year-old, all you have to do is, like, be excited. And that's the same. If you want your child to be calm, you have to be calm.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out. That I also have to say, you're also just human.
Yeah.
But it is important to do that. But on that note as well, it is, and I just want to come back to the play therapy of it again, because I think a lot of things is also that I think sometimes people think of play therapy or any kind of it, even OT, I think people have very wrong perceptions about it. So what would a normal kind of session look like for a play therapy session if a child would come to you?
I'm going to explain how I work,
yeah.
And then you will understand.
Yeah.
Is I like to assess children before I know too much about them. So I would ask the parents, I want to do this historic free because I want to see what the child brings to my office. I assess, and then me and the parents get together. So children normally knows when I assess, I'm going to talk to the parents as well. So that we can make a plan, like we're saying at the beginning. So then, so we've got a structured assessment that we do. It's child friendly and nice. And then me and the parents comes together a lot of times for me just to give them some pointers and give them their child's view, make a big difference already.
Mm.
Then I actually want to say a lot of times they don't come back for therapy the next week or so, because a lot changes and it's just the insight into their child helps a lot.
And I mean, I think that's why this conversation is also so important. I think for people, sometimes it's just that, to realize that emotions is normal. It's mm-hmm. not weird to be angry or to be that type of thing, and to actually talk about it. And now, obviously, we are going to talk a little bit about what people can do also at home a little bit to help with these things. But in the end of the day, for me, a big part of this show is always just to kind of tell people that it's not abnormal what's happening. And sometimes just being aware, and that's like, it's scary to think that you can co-regulate your child or that you can have an impact on your child's emotion. Because I think sometimes parents feel very helpless when their children are constantly having like meltdowns and things like that. And now I'm coming to say, hey, you can have an impact on your child's emotion.
Yeah.
It kind of brings this whole guilt thing into it. And it makes you feel like, oh my word, is the reason my child is doing this my fault type of thing. That's not at all what we are trying to say here. We are trying to tell you that you shouldn't see it as you're doing something wrong, but you actually do have the power to change it and to control it a little bit. Not always. Yes. Again, you're human. And I can assure you, I have flipped my lid more than enough times when my children have been angry. It's only normal. But then I call myself again and the next time I try to do better. And as your children get older, I can assure you, you are going to get better at it.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you're back with me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting, and it's been a nice conversation talking about processing our emotions, feeling our emotions. And I've been speaking to Elise Coronia. She's a social worker with over 20 years of experience in the field. I feel I have over-dominated the conversation, as is my way when I come back from holiday. I have lots to say. But it's been nice. I do think always these type of conversations, for me, it's important for you to understand that it's, your tantrums are not, emotions are not abnormal for children. But on that note, yes, Elise, like, yeah, again, emotions are normal, tantrums are more normal, especially those big emotions when kids feel frustrated, when they want to do something and they can't do it. Also anger. I think sometimes frustration comes out in anger. Sadness comes out in anger.
Mm.
What can we do as parents at home to help our children? What are some, because you also mentioned some techniques that parents can go Google and things. What are some of these things that we can do?
I think we did touch base a little bit when I told you about the brainstem calmer. That's just to make your child calmer. I always say when you're like an elastic band and you all stretch out, somebody can just look at you and then you will flip your lid. But if the elastic band is not that stretched, then you can go a long way. So it's easy things. It's anything that is, we always say relational, relaxing, repetitive. That's all the R. So if you just walk around the block, it's everything. If they just jump on the trampoline, that's everything. But we forget about the relation sometimes. You need to talk to him while there need to be a relationship while jumping on the trampoline. Dancing is everything. Laughing is everything. So it's easy stuff, but sometimes we don't do that because sometimes I think it's too easy.
Yeah.
So sometimes just to stop a little further from your child's school and do a sensory walk on your way to the school, pick a flower for the teacher and talk about the course you're hearing. You got a more relaxed child going to school if the child struggle with that. So that can help. And I think you said it, that if I give my child words for his emotions, we need to give him words. So for instance, sometimes you all know the angry tears. It's not hurtful. He didn't get hurt. He's angry. And then he's crying. Then we will say, you know what? When you have angry tears like that, you need to do or go to your room a little bit or whatever.
But scream into a pillow.
Yeah. But if it's sad tears, then I pick him up on my lap and say, oh, this is sad. So I need to tell him there's a difference between what we're seeing here. And sometimes just by saying yourself how you feel now, that will help him as well. And what I sometimes do when you flip your lid, like you say sometimes, is give yourself time out. Don't give your child, go to the room for a little, see what's happening here. I'm not going to be the referee because sometimes when your child's fighting, you need to be the ref. I'm not going to be that. I'm going for 5 minutes to my room.
No.
And they will, so that's also one of the things to tell them. It's okay to have the emotion, but I'm hurting in this instance. So I'm going now back to my room.
And I mean, I think that's also a nice thing is because I think that sometimes we perceive, especially crying, we only perceive as bad. And often we want to just stop it. And I often tell parents that you don't want to necessarily, you want them to process the emotions. And I always go back to parents and then I'm like, how many times have you cried in the last 6 months? And then they're like, oh, so many times. And it's like, so you're allowed to cry, but your child is not.
Mm-hmm.
So you also, and I think that's important what you just said for me as well, is that we also have to give our children the space sometimes to process the emotion and not just wanting to stop it. Give them time, a safe space to have that emotional fit. And then stop it.
and maybe don't try and fix everything because that's what we moms do. We're good at that. If a child tells you, I was lonely today, or it's say I was all by myself at school, then we want to fix. Why didn't you get a friend? Why didn't you? But maybe he just wanted to be a little bit by himself today and we make it wrong.
Yeah.
No, listen to them. That's
also true.
Yeah. Sometimes we just need to listen what they're saying and not fix them. They don't want that.
And I mean, that's true. And I mean, it's like I was talking with a friend of mine also about, we were talking about the circles that we create in our own mind that limit us. And she was actually mentioning that sometimes we create those circles for our children as well. So we, why are you so shy? And silly things like that. And I think this adds to that as well, where sometimes we create those imaginary boundaries for our children and box them in those type of things. And we think we need to fix things. And actually, we just need them to be. Before you go, Elise, is there something that you feel that you want to leave with people? As well, please let people know where they can contact you, obviously.
I will. I think what I want to leave, because we start talking about play therapy.
Yes.
And a lot of people sometimes ask me, is this a good play therapist? Can I take him to that one or whatever? I will always tell them, where are this person registered? Because just a quick update is, in South Africa, there's not a registered thing as play therapy. So you're a social worker with that tool in your toolkit, or a psychologist with that tool in your toolkit, or an OT.
Yeah.
So all of these are registered at the HPCSA, or we are registered at our council. But it can be a very good play therapist. But if they're not registered, then you will struggle. Because if they do something that you don't like, then you can't go anywhere telling them. So that is a good thing, just to ask the therapist.
Yeah.
Okay, and what else did you... Oh, me.
Where can people find you?
So, I'm Elise Cronier, and do you want me to give my phone number?
If you're comfortable with it,
I'm comfortable with that. It's 084-548-4725.
Great. Thank you, Elise. We will definitely share your details as well. And thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed it. I had more questions, so you're going to have to come back.
I will.
Great. Thanks, thank Elise. You.
Bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
And just like that, another show has come to an end, and it was a good one today. I really enjoyed having it today. This August, take one step further on your Jewish journey at Limud Joburg 2025. Limud is more than a conference. It's a vibrant celebration of Jewish learning, culture, and connection. With over 150 sessions, renowned speakers, delicious kosher meals, and programming for all ages, there is something for everyone at Limud 2025. Whether you're curious, committed, or somewhere in between, Limud is for you. Join us from 15 to 17 August, Joburg, 20 August in Durban, and 23 to 24 August in Cape Town. Visit lemoot.org.za to register. Don't miss it. And again, like I said, another great show. If you've missed the show today, don't worry. It will be available as a podcast on chaifm.com. This and all of the shows are available. If you want to contact me, please do send. You can either send an email to info@chaifm.com, or you can email me directly on yolandi@goodnightbaby.co.za, or of course you can DM me on social media on Instagram, Yolandi Becker. I would love to hear from you if you've got specific topics that you want to talk about. Today specifically, we talked about emotion, and my one last kind of emotion of co-regulating, and I think Elise also mentioned that as well, is that, you know, sensory. And that for me is like one of the things, like if you want to process emotions and be connected and to calm and self-regulate or help your child to regulate, you need to think of the senses. And sometimes it's just sitting. I'm very sure a therapist taught me this, is that sitting. So if you're even feeling overwhelmed as an adult, sit and think of three things that you're hearing around you. Me now talking and maybe the sound, but actually thinking about what you're hearing. Thinking about three things that you're feeling, like physically feeling on your skin, the material, the carpet underneath your feet. And this type of things of thinking of the center. Then what are you tasting? What are you smelling? And actually calming yourself and concentrating on those things can help you to regulate. And these are the type of sensory things that you also want to think about with your children to help them. So, but you can't regulate someone else if you can't regulate yourself. Okay. I hope you've learned something today. And if you've realized emotions are normal and it's necessary to process. Join me next week for talking with Fiona Doman. Also, she's a psychologist. Again, adding on to this conversation, and next week we're talking about discipline and how to discipline children. Why is discipline and boundaries important for toddlers and children? I look forward to that conversation. Fiona's been a guest on my show a couple of times, so always happy to have her. So join me next week. Until next time, remember, the biggest gift we can give our children is the example of kindness. So go out there today and be kind. It will help everyone. Thank you so much. Have a good day. Until next time.